It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Each year, some 200,000 babies worldwide are born with the deformity known as clubfoot. If not treated, it forces a person to walk on the sides or the tops of their feet. The feet themselves are sometimes also pointing sideways or even backwards. Clubfoot remains the world's most common skeletal birth defect. Thankfully, though, there's a gentle, manipulative technique that corrects clubfoot without invasive surgery, and it's known as the Ponseti method. One of my guests this hour is Tom Cook. He's the author of a new book that tells the story of the late Dr. Ignacio Ponseti. It was in the 1950s, while at the University of Iowa, that Dr. Ponseti developed what has become the gold standard of care for clubfoot, the Ponseti method. Tom Cook joins me in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Nice to be here.
Great to have you with us. We want to mention that you're Director of Global Operations for the Ponseti International Association, also Professor Emeritus at the University of Iowa College of Public Health, a physical therapist and biomedical engineer. Thank you so much and for bringing your book to our attention. Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children, and this really does mean millions of children.
Absolutely.
Okay, over decades. Dr. Jose Merquende joins us as well, professor and orthopedic surgeon at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, also executive director of the Ponseti International Association. He is Dr. Ponseti's successor, so to speak. Dr. Merquende, welcome to you. I understand you're between surgeries.
Yes. Hi, Ben. Nice to be here, and thank you for the invitation.
Okay. We want to reach out to our listeners this hour. We'll be hearing later in the hour from a person born with clubfoot who, thanks to the Ponseti method, walks perfectly fine these days. Were you or a loved one born with this congenital deformity? Do you have the Ponseti method to thank for being able to walk normally? We'd like to have you join our conversation this hour. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. River2River at iowapublicradio.org is our email. Tom Cook, let me start with you. I explained a little bit in the introduction about clubfoot. For those not acquainted with it, tell us a little bit more about this defect, this deformity, and how many lives it impacts.
Well, the best estimate we have is that about 200,000 children, infants, are born every year around the world with this deformity. That equates to about one every 3 minutes somewhere. It's a, as you described, the foot is turned down and in and under, twisted. It occurs in males about twice as commonly as females, really occurs in just about the same incidence in every country in the world. Mm-hmm. So there's no special preference for economic status or social status or the mother's nutrition or any other issue. It's basically a random genetic problem with development of several of the muscles, the tendons, and ligaments in the lower leg. As the rest of the somewhere in the middle of pregnancy, as the rest of the limb develops, those particular structures seem to slow down in their development, mm-hmm. and they're tighter and shorter than normal, and that causes the foot to deform. I always use the analogy of a string puppet. The muscles are up in the lower leg, the tendons that cross the ankle are the strings, and the bones of the foot are the puppets. And what happens then is the puppeteers up in the lower leg just pull too long and too hard during pregnancy and cause the foot to distort. Mm-hmm. So even though it's manifest as a skeletal problem with the foot, the root of the problem really is neuromuscular in the lower leg.
Dr. Merquende, tell us a little bit about how the Ponseti method corrects this deformity.
Well, based on what Tom said about the muscles, so what you need to do is to stretch those muscles and tendons and ligaments. And that is done by a very gentle manipulation. You do a little bit of a stretch, just in the comfort level for the baby. And then you apply a plaster cast to maintain that position. And usually every 5 to 7 days, you repeat the stretching and stretch a little bit more, always in comfort level of the baby, and apply another cast. And usually the majority of the cases, we'll need 5 or 6 cars to get the foot in normal position with all the muscles, ligaments, and tendons being stretched. The majority of the cases, the Achilles tendon is a little bit tight. Trying to stretch with the casting might produce a lot of forces and swelling and discomfort for the baby. And in the last cast, we do a small, like a snip of the tendon. It's like, you know, ear piercing, really. It's just with a small ophthalmic blade. Just to snip the hard part of the tendon. There's a hard and a soft part to allow the ankle to move freely, and that way there's no pressures on the ankle on the foot. And the cast is kept for 2 weeks to allow the tendon to heal, and then the patient deformity is corrected. But because the muscles and tendons are affected by this biological glitch, they need to maintain the correction. Like when you have braces for your teeth, you have to use a retainer at night. Well, the kids have to sleep with a retainer for the feet, which is a brace. And after a few years using the brace, when they develop enough coordination and power in the lower extremities and the muscles are balanced and one don't pull more than the others, then they don't need anything and they have a, you know, normal function and pretty much normal life.
How soon, Dr. Marquende, how soon after birth, I mean, it's immediately recognized upon birth, if not in the womb, right?
Many cases are recognized with the ultrasound, usually around week 20 or so. This is a deformity that happened in the second trimester, not at the beginning of pregnancy. So it's not what we call a malformation. So everything is formed. The foot has all the elements, ligaments, tendons, bones, everything. It's just that the muscles, for some reason that is most likely genetically driven, are a little bit stiffer than normal. So usually that starts happening in the third trimester, and with ultrasound many times is picked up by the gynecologist. And otherwise is sometimes because of whatever conditions the baby was twisted or something and they couldn't see it, and the kid is born with a deformity. In general, we recommend to wait until the baby and mom and the family adjust to the new situation. If it is the first kid, usually it's a big challenge for everybody. If it is the third kid, it's also a challenge for everybody. And and so we just let the family, you know, adjust to the new situation. And when they're ready, they can start the casting. Usually most of the time, like the second week or third week.
And how many weeks then before the method is complete and the correction made?
Usually, you know, depending of you change the cast every 5 or 7 days, it makes no difference. Just the difference is if you do every 5, you shorten the time. So usually by, you know, 5 weeks later, you know, the foot is corrected. So by the third month, all the kids are ready to go.
Fascinating how this can be, this correction can be made without any surgery. Tom Cook, this is a practice that was developed in the 50s, not really adopted until decades later. And many in the community, what the medical community thought that surgery was the only way to do this, right?
Yeah, that's correct. For a long time, interviewed a patient not long ago who was treated by Dr. Ponsetti in July of 1948, a woman who's now in her 70s. She kayaks, she hikes, she bicycles. She was a hairdresser for 20 years. She worked in a museum for 20 years. She had a perfectly normal life. So he had this figured out by the late 1940s, published several papers over the next few decades documenting the follow-up studies. He was, like Dr. Steinler, who was his mentor, he was really big on the long-term effects of what orthopedists were doing. But at the time, in the 1950s and 60s, there are commentators who would characterize that period as the period of heroic surgery. It was the time—
Surgery was the answer for everything.
there were a lot of new capabilities developing, and surgeons were trained to do surgery. And many of them didn't want to hear about something as, quote, old-fashioned as plaster cast to treat a problem. So Dr. Ponsetti had great difficulty. He he published these papers in prestigious journals. He gave lectures. He gave demonstrations. And there were all sorts of excuses why not to use this, including, well, it only works for kids in Iowa because they wear heavy boots and they walk in the mud. That was a real explanation, a comment at some of the presentations that he gave.
Wow.
He gave a presentation at New York University in the 60s and was characterized as a crazy old man from Iowa, even though he was only 46 years old. Huh. So there just wasn't any interest in something as, might we say, simple and direct as a non-surgical treatment, when many of the practitioners at the time, until Dr. Ponseti developed this technique, surgery was the answer. Mm-hmm. And changing that mentality was a challenge.
Tom Cook is my guest, author of Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children, also director of global operations for the Ponseti International Association. We also have Dr. Ponseti's successor with us today, Dr. Jose Marquende, professor and orthopedic surgeon at the University of Iowa Hospitals Clinics, also executive director of the Ponseti International Association. Arlene Humboldt joins us by phone. co-owner of Humboldt Travel in Cedar Falls. I grew up in the Cedar Falls, Waterloo area. I certainly know Humboldt Travel. Welcome to you, Arlene.
I'm welcome.
And now, you were born in Oshin, Iowa, if I'm getting the name pronunciation correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Very good. And you were born with club foot, and you are so grateful, I imagine, that Dr. Ponseti was here in Iowa when you were. Tell us your story quickly.
So when I was born, at Decorah Hospital, and the doctor, the family doctor that delivered me, he suggested to my parents to use the Ponseti method and go down to the University of Iowa. So my parents took me down there, and I stayed the first 6 weeks of my life down at the hospital, and then they put casts on up to my hips and changed the casts, and then after that I wore a brace until I started every night and sometimes during the day. I wanted to take them off because I wouldn't want to wear them at night. And so I had locks that they put over my shoestrings so I couldn't get the braces off because I had shoes. And my mom always wanted to get Buster Brown shoes at that time because Dr. Ponseti thought that was a good brand. And so I always had Buster Brown shoes. And I could run and play outside. I never thought of me as, like, not normal. And my family felt the same way, my sisters went playing with. And then I wore special shoes until I was, like, in the fifth or sixth grade. And I never had any pain or problems with my feet since I've been born. And so it's like a miracle. It's a miracle we lived in Iowa, so I'm so grateful that this has all happened.
Right. And when you reflect on the varying degrees this has been accepted around the world, Arlene, that you really are a lucky individual to have been born in Iowa near Dr. Ponseti, Dr. Marquende, tell us, what is the window after a baby is born which you can treat this most successfully?
Well, the good news for everybody is that you can actually treat this successfully at any age, even until young adults. We didn't know this a few years back, but as the method has been implemented in different countries, especially in countries with limited resources, in which the doctors have to come up with something to treat these patients. We now know that even adult patients can be treated with the Ponseti method. So there's really not a limit for the treatment, but you know, the best is to start when the babies are in the first few weeks of life, because it's a little bit easier and more gentle for the patient.
Mm-hmm. Arlene, you are featured in Tom Cook's book here, Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children. It's interesting here. One of the twists here in the narrative is, well, I'll just have you tell it. Arlene, you have the Ponseti method to thank for your being able to walk and normally like anyone here. Now, one of your daughters actually works at that department?
Yes, she works. She works for the surgeon with the knees and hips, but she works in the orthopedic department at the University of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. How many other, Arlene? How many other people who've been treated for clubfoot do you know? Is this sort of? Do you meet people? Is this?
I don't know anyone.
You don't know anyone. So this, I'm just talking about, because it, we want to talk a little bit later about the cultural stigma attached with clubfoot, and I wonder if people who've been successfully treated have any kind of association with each other, but it sounds like they don't, not on, on social media or anything.
Well, no, and, you know, like, if I tell my story, people are surprised because, you know, if you saw me, you wouldn't know that I ever had foot problems or anything. So it's kind of like, you know, it happened so long ago, and when I was small, it, even a lot of my friends, they just don't know it, you know.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Arlene Humble, of Cedar Falls. Tom wanted to jump in here before you go, I think, Arlene.
Well, yeah, Arlene, well, thanks for telling your story. The other part of your story, I think you remember telling me, is that your siblings remember you putting dents in the wall next to your bed when you rolled over at night from your brace.
Because, I would roll over and I'd have dents in, because, you know, you have to turn the whole bar, you know, and I'd bump the wall and I'd have dents in the wall. So,
yeah, Arlene, describe a little bit of what your brace looked like. It keeps
I have my original brace. I showed them to Tom. Tom's seen them. So it's a bar, let's see, maybe about 18 inches long, as a silver bar, and then they would put the shoes on at an angle outward, and then it had a screw on the back, the screw on the shoe, and then I would walk, you know, kind of back and forth, kind of a waddle. And I could run, I could do anything with those braces on.
Wow. Yeah,
I can remember just running around with them.
Yeah, let me throw in a few comments here. First of all, the primary use of the brace is when you sleep and nap. Understandably, as children get a little more mobile, waddle to the bathroom in the middle of the night with their brace on and so on. The ideal is to keep the feet separated about the same width as the shoulders, and that's our guideline. And of course, since you used a brace, Arlene, we've come a long way with the comfort and adjustability and weight and so on of the braces. But they're an important part of the treatment.
Well, we've been talking so much and so grateful for Dr. Ponsetti, the late Dr. Ponsetti, for this method. Let's hear a little bit of his voice before his death. Tom Brokaw of NBC Nightly News featured the story of Dr. Ponsetti and his method on NBC. It was around this time when the Ponsetti method was being accepted in the medical community. Let's listen to a little bit of Dr. Ponsetti being recognized as the gold, as his method being recognized as the gold standard for treating clubfoot.
It is a great pleasure for me to see this technique spread, not only to areas of highly civilized, but even to areas where the facilities are less available, like in Africa, where the physician assistants can be taught this technique very easily. The great success that Dr. Pinney had in establishing this treatment in Uganda.
There's thousands upon thousands of children walking around in the villages on the top of their feet because they never got care.
Most of East Africa, and now West Africa, is being influenced by this technique, so that and in India as well, so that many children in these countries had to walk on the dorsum of the foot, so these children now are safe into a normal existence.
A little excerpt from the NBC Nightly News featuring Dr. Ponsetti. Arlene Humble, I imagine his voice brings back some memories to you being treated directly by Dr. Ponsetti.
Yes, and I also, I went down there after I was treated and, you know, was good. I did research and would go down there every so many years. I would get a card, and then I would have, like, I want to say 15 to 20 doctors in the room looking, and they do all these tests. And when I would get those, I would go down there. The last time I went, I believe it was 2007, that I went down and did a bunch of tests and stuff at the University of Iowa.
Coming up, Arlene, thank you so much for being with us. Before we go into break, we have a minute or two here. Dr. Marquende, I wanted to ask you, Tom Cook described a little bit about the acceptance of this or non-acceptance of this a very gentle method of manipulation, non-invasive, non-surgical. What is your take on why it took so long and what finally made it breakthrough as the gold standard worldwide for treating clubfoot?
I think it's when people start looking at the cases that they did surgery in the 60s and 70s that became adults 30 years old. There was a very important paper published by Dr. Dobbs and associates in St. Louis. 75% of them had a lot of pain and stiffness. They couldn't do the normal things that anybody can do during the day, you know, running, biking, or playing, you know, golf or anything. So that called the attention to people to say, well, is there anything else that we can do to avoid the surgeries? Now, they were like 50 years late. And that is how, you know, they came back to start looking at the Dr. Ponseri method. And he published his book in 1996, which was at the time when this was happening. And so that's how, you know, the professionals, some of the professionals start looking at the Ponseri method and start coming here to visit with Dr. Ponseri. But the most important influence factor for the change that we have seen in the last 15, 20 years was the parents. Parents are a very powerful voice. They can read on the internet, and they do. Dr. Ponseri put his method on the internet in 1998. And so they start coming here to Iowa, and after being treated, then they went back to their doctor and say, hey, you know, you were recommending surgery. I went to Iowa. The kid is now fine. I think you should be looking at, you know, why, and talk to Dr. Ponseri, because this works.
Okay.
And so the parents actually were the one who really made this, the change.
Okay, Dr. Jose Marquende, stay with us, please. Professor and orthopedic surgeon at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Dr. Ignacio Ponseri's successor, also executive director of the Ponseri International Association. Tom Cook is with us, author of Clubfoot. Arlene Humble, thank you for joining us. Born with clubfoot, thankfully corrected by the Ponseri method. Thanks for telling your story, Arlene.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
When we come back, we'll talk more about the Ponseri method with Tom Cook and Dr. Jose Marquende. I'm Ben Kiefer. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer, talking about the Ponseri method. Millions of people are grateful that that was developed by Dr. Ignacio Ponseri in the 1950s. At the University of Iowa today, Tom Cook is with me. He is Director of Global Operations for the Ponseri International Association, Professor Emeritus, the University of Iowa College of Public Health, also author of Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children. Dr. Jose Marquende joins us as well, professor and orthopedic surgeon at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Dr. Ponseri's successor, so to speak. It really is amazing. 150 to 200,000 babies, as far as we can tell, per year, born in the world with this deformity known as clubfoot. It forces a person to walk on the sides of their feet or on the tops of their feet. Very painful to watch the videos. If you go to the internet, you can watch the videos. The feet are sometimes pointing sideways or even backwards, and it remains the world's most common skeletal birth defect. Now, it's been corrected. For those of us, if you didn't join us in the first half hour, that's why I'm going over this. Ponseri method, this gentle, manipulative method, it uses casts that, in the same way, I guess, Dr. Marquende, that you would have orthodonture, that your teeth aren't quite right, and we can correct that as they grow in. This is the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's, you very gently correct the deformity with casting. Usually it takes 5 or 6 casts, and then you use a retainer for the feet, which is the brace at night. And with that, the kid is, you know, start running when they should start running, and they have a absolutely normal life, like Arlene.
Mm-hmm. Arlene, we had in our first half hour of Oshin, Iowa, talked to being a research patient at the University of Iowa, directly treated by Dr. Ponsetti. Larry Neubauer is with us, I believe, joining us from New York City. He is the father of a child. Larry Neubauer, your child was born with clubfoot, right?
That's correct. Our daughter Piper was born with club feet and both feet.
Okay, so tell us about that. The parent's perspective, that is, did you know about that prior to the birth or upon the birth?
No, we knew. We were fortunate in that we knew prior to her being born that she had club feet. And we actually, I was listening to the first part, and she was treated shortly after birth with I guess what they called a tenotomy and casting, all part of the here in New York, part of the Ponsetti method, and then more braces. And I was hearing again Eileen talk about the back and forth waddle, and if you know memories of Piper waddling back and forth with her braces when she was young.
Mm-hmm. How old is Piper now?
She is she's about to be 9.
She's about to be 9. And how's she doing? Running and playing as other children?
She's running and playing as other children. And really, we, you know, she actually had to come back. She had, I don't know whether you call it a relapse or recurrence, which the doctors can talk about, but I think a certain number of children just have a recurrence of club feet. And we looked around and decided to come out to Iowa, actually, to have Dr. Marquende to get his perspective on it. And then she had to have surgery again, and we chose to have that done at Iowa.
Uh-huh. Was that unusual? You're an East Coaster, I believe. Was that unusual to all of a sudden find out Iowa was kind of the center of the universe when it comes to treating club foot?
It was. If you're a New Yorker, sometimes you think New York is the center of the universe.
Exactly.
And you realize that's really not true. And for club feet, no, we did not know that Iowa was the center of the universe until, you know, when she had the relapse or she was starting to have problems again. You know, we knew that it happened, but we also knew it was unusual. And we were fortunate if we could, we wanted to go to the place that, you know, treated the most, that was the best place to be treated. And, you know, we did research and realized that that was Iowa, that was, you know, we read about Dr. Ponsetti. We knew that Dr. Marquende was his successor. We knew there was no place in the world that had treated more children, more people for club feet than Iowa. No, probably no living doctor treated more people than Dr. Marquende.
Larry Neubauer, before we let you go, first I want to disclose that I believe you're part of the Neubauer family. You're on the board of the Neubauer Foundation, which sponsors a lot of public media. So we want to disclose that and thank the foundation for that. But I wanted to ask, you know, we don't really know. It's not common that we know so much, that we know clubfoot is so widespread. Did that surprise you? How many babies in the world are treated now successfully? How this deformity was so common and is now being remedied in this very gentle way?
Absolutely. No, it was really, it was a surprise to myself and to my wife. And really, when you talk to people, It really is a surprise, both the number of people and the fact that how easily it can be treated. And we're enormously grateful to Dr. Marquende in Iowa for this, and just wish that, you know, more people knew about the problem and knew how to treat it with the Ponsetti method.
Larry Neubauer, thank you for joining us, and it's so good to hear that your 9-year-old Piper is doing so well. Thank you for joining us from New York City.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ben, if I could just add.
Tom Cook, go ahead.
Also thank the Neubauers and the Neubauer Foundation, who have provided the Ponsetti International Association here with some funding to bring in doctors from different parts of the U.S. to get away from their practices and to polish their skills related to treating clubfoot. So we're very grateful for that support.
Dr. Mukwende, tell us a little bit about how active the association is worldwide in training doctors to perform the Ponseti method.
We have been very thankful to the university and the advisory board that we have for Ponseti International. And we started in 2009 or so. We have programs in about 100 plus countries. We are doing the most exciting programs right now is in China and also in South America. We have programs in almost every country in South America. Most importantly, we are working very, very in partnership with Rotary International through the Rotarian Action Group for Clubfoot that was formed about 3 or 4 years ago. And this program is really booming right now. So
okay. We asked for listeners to call in. We're running out of time, so I want to get to some of those listeners. Ike, is it Ike calling from Velmont? I don't know if that's in Iowa.
This is Eric.
Eric, hi, Eric. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
We're on a short string as far as time. Give us your story very quickly.
My son Eli was born in July of 2014 with clubfoot, and we started treatment at 3 weeks old with Dr. Mukwende. He was a severe case of clubfoot, so he did quite a few more castings than normal before his first tenotomy. But he has since had two tenotomies and too many changing of cast to keep track of at this point. But I do want to give an on-air shout out to Dr. Mukwende for all his hard work and knowledge. And we're very thankful, again, like the other guests, that we live in Iowa. So we have Iowa City accessible to us for a 3-hour drive to continue treatment for our son, Eli. He is 5.5 years old and still making trips to Iowa City to see Dr. Mukwende, but he's come a long, long, long ways.
And his prognosis, Eric, very quickly before we say goodbye?
With moving forward, he will receive more casts in the future, but right now he would just have his tennis shoes on, running around, playing at school.
Very good, as children should be able to do. Thank you very much, Eric, for joining us.
Thank you.
With so much to get to this hour, we only have about 10 minutes left. I'd like to get to Bill Whitmore. Bill Whitmore is joining us, a retired orthopedic surgeon now living in Colorado, was trained by Dr. Ponseti. Dr. Whitmore, welcome to the program. Okay, we don't seem to have him on the program today. We'll try to get him on a future program. Let's talk a little bit more about the cultural challenges here. This is one of the fascinating parts, Tom, that you bring out in your book. There are, when we get to different countries, of course, we have different cultures. What are the types of, and this ties in with the stigma. Talk a little bit about the cultural challenges.
Well, if we flash back to Arlene's comment that she grew up in a small town in Iowa, and she knows no one else in her community or in her extended family that was born with clubfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you translate that to a small village in Rwanda or Nigeria or Indonesia, when a child is born with this unusual condition, it becomes concerns that parents typically have when a child is born with a deformity are magnified because no one understands why this happened to this family. So the sort of the guilt trip of the parents, particularly the mother, is quite severe. And the surrounding community, depending upon their culture, they interpret birth defects differently.
Mm-hmm.
We hear a common one we hear is it's a curse from your ancestors. Or it's often explained by an evil spirit that visited the mother. It sometimes is blamed on polio vaccine, on a lunar eclipse. We have a whole list of explanations. And you understand if you live in a very remote village with very little access to the information society, you come up with whatever explanation seems to make sense for you.
And how do you get past those cultural hurdles when their understanding of why a child would have club foot is so vastly separated from the medical explanation?
Yeah, well, it's difficult. What you have to do, and what we try to do with the Ponseti International Association, we're not only trying to train healthcare providers in these areas to treat clubfoot, but we have to change the attitudes about seeking treatment and not just squirreling away these kids and isolating them like oftentimes happened years ago here in this country. We have to work with the local, influencers, whether they are the chieftains or the elders in the community. In Africa, for example, in many parts of the world, radio is the major source of information. So we work with the radio producers, the radio stations to get the messages out, put posters up at the dispensaries, work with the community health workers. It's just and faith-based organization. So it's a slow process, mm-hmm. but an important one, because you can have the treatment capacity, but if the parents don't seek the treatment because they think this was God's will that the kid lives this way or that there's nothing can really be done, those cultural issues are often major impediments to changing the life of these kids.
Finishing up the hour with Tom Cook, author of Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children. Dr. Jose Merquende is with us as well. Dr. Ponseti's successor at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. Another Jose joining us on this hour. Jose from Des Moines, I see on my screen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
What is your connection to clubfoot?
So our fourth child, she was born with clubfoot, and we didn't see it in the ultrasounds. But we weren't prepared for it. But when she was born, my wife tore all over the internet, finding out about it, what it was, and how to treat it. Forums and Facebook and groups like that, and then she landed on the Ponseti method, and there was centers. I think there was one in Dallas, I forget, but then the one in St. Louis, and of course the one in the U of I. And then we thought, well, maybe we can make a trip to the U.S. and get it treated. And then they said, well, hang on, let me find out doctors in Peru that can do this. We found a couple, and we chose one. And just like you guys have been talking about it for the last, I don't know how many hours, but it was very gentle. It was very positive. It was very quick.
And how is your daughter today?
She's 7 years old, and I'll get to that in a second. It was really funny, actually. So then we went through the customs. We went through we moved back to the U.S. after a few years. And through work, I ended up in Des Moines. And then we saw that my daughter had a tiny relapse. And so we thought, well, let's take it back to U of I. And at the time, I didn't know Dr. Marquand was the leading expert on this in the world. I just go, hey, there's a city doctor there that knows how to do this. And so we went to see him four times. And he corrected and I think we lasted 4 weeks total. Did a tiny correction again through more castings, and until we got the position that we needed for her feet. And then Dr. Marquand asked us, "So where was she treated originally?" In Lima, Peru. I'm like, "Oh, so who trained her? Who treated her?" And like, "Dr. French." I'm like, "I remember that guy. I trained him."
Very good. What a wonderful story. And your child, your daughter, is doing well today. Very quickly, we have to go, but I want to make sure we find out the end of the story here. Right now, she's five.
Yeah, she's doing wonderfully. She's 7 years old, 6 years old, I'm sorry.
Okay.
And she's super active, super fast, and she's very happy with her feet. And we tell her that she's got special feet that, you know, every now and then you need to get. But she's pretty happy. It's great.
Wonderful story to hear. Jose in Des Moines, thank you so much. Let's end the hour by getting back to, we wanted to join Dr. Bill Whitmore earlier, but I believe I have Dr. Whitmore on the line. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you. We've got just a couple of minutes. Retired orthopedic surgeon, now living in Colorado. You were trained by Dr. Ponseti, and I understand we don't have much time, but you probably have lots of stories. I understand one of these stories really points out the dedication of Dr. Ponseti on his wedding day, right? Could you tell that to us?
Well, I sure would. I was privileged to be a resident from 1960 to 1963, and during that time, one memory I have of Dr. Ponsetti is a day in June of 1961. There was a child with claw toes that he was operating on, and I was helping. He did one foot, and I did the other. And we were moving along through the surgery, and about 10 o'clock, he looked up at the clock and said, "Oh, my goodness, I have to leave right now or I will be late for my wedding." And he took his gown and gloves off and left, and we were able to finish the surgery just fine. But I think it's a glimpse into his passion for work. How many people do you know that schedule surgery on the day of their wedding?
Right. Oh, that shows such dedication. Dr. Marquende, you worked closely with Dr. Ponsetti. What a kind individual. What a dedicated individual. Passionate, right?
That's for sure.
Yes, he was very, very passionate. And so with the kids, he had a special way of dealing, you know, talking to them, and that made the kids to be super calm. So he had, you know, such a special personality that in all aspects of life. So it was I learned a lot with him.
Okay, we have just a couple of minutes with so many facets to explore here, but I wanted to go around to each of you, and if you could, in 30 seconds, perhaps share something that you didn't get to. Dr. Whitmore, I know we didn't have much time, but leave us with a final thought from you, please.
Well, I was just privileged to know Dr. Ponsetti and later and become involved in Ponsetti International and helped Dr. Marquende in several trips overseas to teach the Ponsetti method. And I am forever grateful to Tom Cook for writing this wonderful book and for Dr. Marquende to carry on the legacy of Dr. Ponsetti.
Okay, very good. Dr. Marquende, your final thoughts here. Perhaps you can tell us about the association now, all the good work it's doing around the world, and what the future looks like.
We need to continue training more doctors to get to the point in which there will be doctors in every country, in every province. There's not an unlimited number. We need to train about 5,000 doctors, so out of the thousands of orthopedic surgeons. And with that, it will be enough doctors for treating all the kids that are born every year in every country. So we continue training, and any support is well received. And we look forward for in the next 10 to 15 years to be done with the training and be happy for every family.
And to be done with the training, meaning that every child born on this planet with this condition can be treated in their home country successfully.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tom Cook, leave us with some final thoughts. This is so uplifting.
Well, I would follow up on Dr. Marquende's comment. We estimate that we need about 4,000 skilled practitioners around the world to treat these 200,000 kids. And I think I have great admiration that Dr. Ponsetti, who developed this technique in late 40s, early 50s, didn't give up over the 50-year time period of his career until finally the medical community and parents were awakened to the benefits of his technique. And I think we need to continue that quest. We need to build on what he did and take this really simple, do-anywhere, life-changing technique and spread it to every kid everywhere and give them a chance for a normal life.
Dr. Marquende, what parts of the world, the regions in the world, specific countries where you would say we really need to do more work there, that's where we can help them, the most number of children?
Really in every single country, but the countries that are in development, they lack some resources, are the ones who need the most. And because this method is simple, it's only plastic cast, so it's super cheap. And they have no other ways of doing it. And so developing countries are the ones who really need that. And also there are more children born in developing countries just because of the numbers. So 80% of the kids with clubfoot are in developing countries. So that's what the need is right now.
We have run out of time. Thank you so much for sharing the hour with us, Dr. Jose Marquende, professor and orthopedic surgeon at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, executive director of the Ponseti International Association, Tom Cook, author of Clubfoot, The Quest for a Better Life for Millions of Children, also connected with the Ponseti International Association, we had Dr. Bill Whitmore. Thank you for joining us from Colorado. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
River to River is produced by Rick Brewer, Caitlin Harrop, and Matt Alvarez. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.